Welcome back to the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. And this is something special. We just did the 50th episode. You'll see it posted right before this one. This is bonus content. Lucas, Jay, and I just had such a great conversation that I wanted to show some appreciation and just throw some stuff out there, some of the other stuff. It was a good conversation. I thought you guys would enjoy it. So enjoy this. Thank you so much again for listening to the episodes that you have. Lucas and I very much appreciate it. We got some good stuff coming down the pipe. It's going to be fun, and I hope you enjoy this extra content. Thank you.
Hit that yet?
Like, well, I wanted to say it first so there was consent involved, so you knew what you were saying was being recorded.
Yeah, so, first time for everything.
But no, there's a Masonic Lodge, and I don't know if it still is, but the building on the corner of Front Street and Cass on the same side of the road as the sinful block there.
There's probably a bunch of Masonic buildings down there, and you just see the
Masonic.
Well, yeah, you just look for the little symbol.
Yeah,
they'll be on way more buildings than you think.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jenna's grandfather, at least grandfather, maybe great grandfather, but her grandfather was a Mason. Her father is a Mason, and her favorite musician is Matt Mason. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Wow. So did your counselor with Bribe Ministries work on clearing out like Freemason stuff out of bloodlines?
We did like one Masonic thing because I talked about it with him. But we didn't really get a lot on that.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I don't know, like, and he was like, your wife might need to deal with some stuff. He's like, but she might not. Like, she might just be kind of cleared from it because you're her cover.
There was that one podcast, I think it was Confessionals, I think. We was talking with a woman, I think she was an Indian woman, and she had dealt with stuff, and her grandmother had, like, sanctified her in voodoo or hoodoo, I think it's hoodoo over there or something like that. And so she had all these the stuff that was happening, and it kind of stopped after she got married. And her husband didn't believe in any of this stuff, but then one night he had like the most vivid dream he's ever had, and this entity came to him in his dream and asked for permission to access her. And he was like, no.
Whoa.
And then woke up and told her about it. And it was like, they were, I think Tony Merkel was like, well, that sounds like the whole husband is the cover thing. Like, that couldn't affect you anymore because, you know, you're under his umbrella.
Yep.
And then I guess he's kind of opened up to it since then. But, yeah.
And overall, like, since I've started praying for us more consistently before bed and in the morning, like, her anxiety level's been lower.
Mm-hmm.
She's been sleeping better. Mm-hmm. I don't always notice much of a difference, but I'm so exhausted by the time I get to bed. Like,
I had cold. I had a wild experience recently. I had to be up for work at like 4:30 in the morning because I was taking somebody to treatment that day, and I had to pick them up on one side of the state and then drive them to the other side. It was whatever. And I forgot to set my alarm, or my ringer was low, one of the two. And it was after the situation where I told you, like, I had prayed for the angels and I had the vision where I felt Lilith got past him into my dreams and stuff. It was right after that, and it was right when I was starting to do the morning and evening prayers all the time through the Bride Ministries. And I skipped the evening prayer that night. No, that's two different stories. I didn't skip the evening prayer that night. And I woke up to this pinching pain feeling in my leg. In all the times that I've woken up and seen an angel in my room, in the spirit, they're always standing, like, just to the side of my bed, down by my feet. And it's just for, like, a split second, and it's like I come to consciousness, and it's like it kind of dissipates. But one time I woke up to feeling, like, just like a touch like this on my foot. And I woke up, and the angel was there in his white and gold armor, and then it kind of went away. Well, that morning I woke up to pinching on my left leg, and then I kind of had that spirit vision of the angel like moving his arm away, and it was just enough time for me to get up, pray, take a shower, and leave. and be on time. Like, poof, 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 poof. And it blew my mind. I was like, wow. Holy crap.
Wow.
The other one was I forgot to do the evening prayer, and then I had a really messed up dream that night. And, like, I wasn't having messed up dreams for a while, and I was like, okay, so we don't not do that anymore.
Well, and the interesting thing is I was having the same experience until I did the other deliverance with Tom. Yeah. And after that, like, there have been nights where I've fallen asleep and didn't pray, and I didn't have the weird freaky dreams and stuff. It's like,
yeah.
And that's, I'm trying to find the verse. There's a verse somewhere in Proverbs that says something about swallows and sparrows or something, and how they don't land when they don't have a place to land. And then it says, like that, a curse with no source cannot hold, or something like that. Mm. And essentially, it's like, if you don't have a root of sin in your life and you don't have a spirit that already has access to you, they can't just have access to you.
Mm. Right.
Like, now, if they already have access and you get rid of the root of sin, that doesn't necessarily get rid of the spirit, but you have to, like, get rid of the spirit, and then they no longer have access. They'll try to get that sin back into your life because that gives them that doorway. But if you don't have that doorway in the first place, then there's nothing they can do. They can try to give you a weird dream, but if it doesn't take you anywhere, then, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
There's that guy who did one of the more recent confessionals podcasts, and the guy where he came in for a podcast, and then Tony, like, they redid it two weeks later.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
that whole podcast was
so
crazy.
I've experienced almost all of what that guy talked about, except for seeing the, like, moth, mosquito, beast thing. Like, that's the only thing I haven't really experienced.
Oh, I need to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
It's 2.5 hours
I like the
long.
Confessionals. You guys turned them on.
Tony Merkel's great.
Yeah, yeah, there it's great. It is one of the more recent ones, and it's not a members only. It's on their YouTube, which is where I usually listen to them. But yeah.
The guy found out, like, he went in to do a podcast with Tony, and there was stuff going on, and he had, like, spirit come on him that was already, he was already dealing with, like, making him want to hurt Tony. And so they did deliverance and came back later, and they didn't release any of that stuff. And so, like, 2 weeks later, they get back together. The guy's doing a little better, but he's had these weird experiences, and he realized that what he's been dealing with was Lilith by name. And he's like, she's come to me as this, like, absolutely stunningly gorgeous woman.
Also the ring woman, like, from the movie.
Yeah.
The which creepy, is what I've like, seen.
Yeah. And yes. Then he saw a form. He's seen, like, this cloaked form, and he said the cloak was, like, pulled back one time, and it was, like, this mosquito bug thing with, like, a proboscis that was, like, sucking the sexual energy out of him, giving him these sexual fantasies, and then, like...
That's like, wild.
Chills. The one that got me...
That's wild.
The one that got me was when he described her as kind of Medusa-like, but the hair wasn't snakes, but it was kind of like that, with the thin, sharp teeth. And remember when we did the episode about the fallen seraph?
Yeah.
And I was dealing with that. If you look at the picture that I generated for it, I got as detailed with that as I could, and then I photoshopped it to get it even closer. It is so close to what he described. And that's what I was seeing, was that. Mm. And then I've dealt with the whole ring girl thing. And then I've dealt with the sexual dreams with the like, the beautiful women. And just so much of what he said just hit. When he talked about the, like, moth mosquito-looking thing sucking it out of him, like, it resonated, but I can't say that I've seen or experienced it. Mm. So it was just interesting.
Interesting.
So...
That's been kind of my experience is like, were you going to?
No, I just said it was a good one.
Yeah. Okay. my experience too was like, I went through a year and a half of deliverance right when we moved here 3 years ago with a family friend who does deliverance full time. Mm. That was when I was in bed. I couldn't move, could barely read a book. And I was having like terrible dreams, like sexual dreams. Something was draining my energy and my sexual energy out. And after doing... gosh, 2 or 3 sessions a week with this lady for a year and a half, like, those, I just don't have that stuff anymore.
Right.
It's just not a thing. I don't have bad dreams anymore. I might wake up and see stuff in the spirit sometimes in my room that might, like, evil stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, having dreams that drain me out just doesn't happen. That's interesting because I didn't do anything except sit there and get delivered. You know?
Right. Well, it's powerful, man. Yeah. What I, the whole reason I brought that up and I forgot to mention it was how he said once he went through the deliverance, she still tries to get in and tries to get a hold, but it's like there's no power there and it's just like knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Or like seeing her from a distance. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's different for him now. And that's what I experienced with it too. And that's when I really kind of, I don't want to say it this way, but got a grip on the porn and masturbation stuff. Mm. Because I know, sorry.
You're bad with words.
I am. There's worse people out there. But
fabulous.
Yeah, right? It's going to hurt me. But no, like I really, when I started to do that, it was weird because it's always been the sexual draw. I've always had an issue with the spirit of lust, and now I'm finding out that it's Lilith. And it's been an issue. I've gotten through deliverance and bride ministries, dreams or prayers and stuff like that. I've went the longest I've ever went. It's like I'm free of it now. I don't even want to say that like the longest I've ever went because I'm not going back to that. But I'm mm-hmm. free of it now.
Right. Yep. You don't walk around with the compulsion anymore.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the same for me. Yeah.
But then I skipped an evening dream one time.
Prayer.
Yeah. Prayer. You've seen dreams.
Is that Jenna? Is that Jenna?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I skipped an evening prayer one time recently, and it was the first time I ever had any kind of homosexual sex dream.
Mm.
And it wasn't good in any way. Mm-hmm. And not saying like it was bad, but I mean it was bad. I don't know.
It sounds bad to me.
It was very short and very small. It was like that trying to get in thing. And
very
it's like,
short,
okay.
Very small. That's helpful. Like yeah. That's good. Makes the experience easier.
The dream itself was of a shorter duration of time.
Who edits these podcasts?
I do.
Mitchell. Okay, that's good. All right.
Were you
retain the power, man?
Yeah. What? This is like serious. Like what member of the situation were you, front or back?
The back. Which was weird because it was...
That's probably better than the other way in the dream world because...
I haven't even done an intro to this yet, and I don't think we're going to. I think I'll just put it in like later. Yeah. But because we just got into a good conversation. But I... Well,
got into a conversation, at least.
It was a woman that had male genitalia. It was very strange. And it's like, are they throwing...
on those that weird online stuff a lot.
Yeah. And I've been to all those corners of the internet. You know, I've seen that stuff. But mm-hmm. it's like, are they now trying to throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks? Right. What can they get me to trip up on? You know, that's never been a thing for me before. And all of a sudden it pops up like, no, mm-hmm. man, get out of here.
Yep.
And that's like, I'm not skipping my prayers anymore.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Stop it.
Well, I had an interesting experience kind of on that note where I got delivered from pornography. Right when I met my wife about 7 years ago, I just kind of fell on my face. The Holy Spirit took it off of me. Lifelong addiction, you know. I went about like 7 years, and then just in the last month had a kind of a relapse. But it came on after I got really, really drunk the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I was not out at a bar. Me and my wife were just drinking. Yeah. And the next day, it was like this force was on me. I must have given an open door.
Yeah.
But I failed that day. And then it just wanted more, right? It was like, hey, why don't you look at it a little more? And I hear the Holy Spirit say, you have a choice. You can send this thing away or you can keep going. And so I just said, I rebuke whatever force is causing this. In the name of Jesus, get out, don't come back. And it was like, yeah. Like this thing just left me. And I was like, whoa, what was I doing? It's like the blinders are pulled off.
Oh, yeah.
It was wild, man. It's the clearest, like, spiritual warfare thing, like, within 30 minutes. I was like, that is weird. And it was very motivating to not want to go back, right? Because I don't know what force that was, but I don't want it. Come back with buddies.
Right. Well, and that's the problem is too is like I think that until we're delivered from this life, this physical life, that they're going to be prowling. That's kind of how I see it. They're always going to be trying, especially if you start to get into something where you're fighting back, like doing a podcast like this or something like that.
Your enemy is prowling around like a
roaring lion.
The Jordan Peterson likes to talk about that verse because he said when you actually look at the original language. It says something much more like your enemy is prowling around like a sexually aroused predator looking to take advantage of you or something like that.
Yeah.
And like it to like overcome you and to have its way with you. And I'm like, I mean, the whole eating you, consuming you thing's bad enough, but like that gives a whole new connotation to it. And it makes me think of that one podcast where I kept saying that Satan was the master perverter.
Yeah.
The pervert of perverts. Like, it makes me feel good to say, but
Satan is dumb in the title.
Yeah. But like, that's the kind of stuff. And I'm trying to start to learn Greek and Hebrew because I want to be able to decipher that stuff on my own without using someone else's words and someone else's study on it.
Like, I like how UJ said that, you fell on your face in front of God. Is that how you meant it?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of prostrate.
Yep.
Yeah, not state, prostate.
Straight. I fell prostate on the ground.
They need a different word for
There's
that.
There's your podcast title.
Yeah. Fell on your prostate. But, no, the last time that I relapsed on the porn stuff, it's like I felt through my entire body that next morning that's what was required. You know, I got down and had my face on the floor and was like, I was sobbing too. Cause it's like, I've been dealing with this and going through the cycle. And it's like, I did this with alcohol before, man. Like this shouldn't be that hard. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've got experience and it was like, that was like kind of the last two times, but the last time I was just like sobbing and just apologizing and I'm so sorry. And then I came out of it with this calm and this peace. And I think that was like what really did it.
Yep.
So,
oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar for me. Weeping, just like, I can't do this anymore type thing. Yeah.
I also noticed I went through it because I'm getting closer to the discerning of the spirits and actually hearing God's voice, or I thought this one was Jesus this time, because I do decipher between the two. And just like I do a lot of work on social media for my work and then with the podcast stuff. So it's like you see, you know, attractive women on there in different ways. And there was one time I saw this one and I literally just took a double take. It was all that it was. And then I had the worst cravings and temptation later that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I prayed about it and I just got, you double took, you know, it's like being be in the world, not of it. Like you can see this stuff, but don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend once, he said, God, you created many beautiful women and that's the end of it. That's as far as my mind is allowed to go anymore. That was stuck with me.
Yeah, the way the Holy Spirit kind of revealed it to me was like, you see a beautiful woman, you notice she's beautiful, that's fine. You might notice all the aspects of her beauty in that moment and every way. And then you're done. It's when you look back, when you dwell, when you start down the rabbit hole of thoughts, when that's the no-go. It's like noticing is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dwelling is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to. Like, that's where the issue comes in.
Yeah, it's like that intention. Yeah,
it's almost like, it was almost like he was like showing me, he almost appreciates that we notice. He's like, because you're supposed to be attracted to, you know, beautiful women. That's part of the creation that, you know, he made women beautiful. He's like, but you're not supposed to take it the step beyond. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to dwell. You're not supposed to think perverse thoughts.
Yeah. Yep.
You were on camera back there just a minute ago, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Camera.
Were they taking
just a picture, but a
podcast photo?
Podcast of a podcast.
I was gonna. Yeah. I was hoping they would do that.
Oh.
Somebody would take a picture of us out here with the setup. So
nice.
But
well, thanks for having me on, guys. This is really cool. I'm really excited.
Well, thanks for being on. We're done. 18 minutes. That's
no. I figured I'd give you an official thank you for having me on. You want to start with this and then go into what we just talked about?
Well, we can do an official intro.
Yeah.
I brought a welcoming gift for you guys. That's a book I just read. I don't know if you've read it before.
Do you have that book?
No.
I do have that book.
Oh, you have it. Nice.
I have not read it yet. I was going to mention it earlier, but I was busy doing all this stuff, so I figured I'd mention it eventually. And we've talked about it, and I think Lucas told me about it because he said that maybe you said something about it.
Probably.
That's exactly what happened.
I just haven't
been able to get it yet.
I ordered it before we ended that phone call.
Okay.
And I just haven't been on that one yet.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool, awesome, though.
It's called Needless Casualties of War for the listeners. It's a good read.
John Paul Jackson.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll put a
link. Definitely recommend it.
I'll put a link in the description.
Sweet.
Yeah, when Lucas had told me about you telling him about it, I got on there and I read the little description of it. I was like, I need that. Because I had just read, he came to set the captives free.
Oh, I just read that.
Dude.
So good. Dude.
That follows up with Prepare for War is the next one.
Yeah, okay.
And then after that is Unbroken Curses.
Okay.
And I think there might be more after that. I haven't gotten to them. I read He Came to Set the Captives Free, and our listeners know who I'm talking about, Dr. Rebecca Brown.
We've mentioned her once or twice.
Yeah, so many times. So I always forget to do that, but I'm sure they know by now. But and then I read Unbroken Curses, and then Prepare for War, and then I found out later that Prepare for War is the sequel to He Came to Set the Captives Free. So it, like, just goes right on.
Okay, nice. From there. Okay, that's next for me then.
Dudes are so great.
I'm still internalizing He Came to Set the Captives Free because there's a lot of, like, just heavy stuff in there that, you know, I was like, huh. I've been around this stuff for a long time, and she said some stuff that was like, oh, that kind of perked my ears up.
Yeah.
I got to process that.
Really opened up just the perspective for me, and, like, everything just ran true. But I immediately got the two books that she mentions in that book.
Watchman Nee stuff, Latent Power of the Soul.
And then Jesse Penn Lewis, Soul and Spirit.
Okay.
Which I don't know if I 100% agree with everything they have in those books. They are both older books from like the turn of the century, not the most recent one.
yeah.
Earlier in the 1900s. But I think they're full of a lot of wisdom. And that's what actually, kind of led me. At one point, I got into a lot of new age practices like astral travel and chakra meditation and stuff like that. Charging my energy through my chakras and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of strange, I didn't come across it like a lot of people would. Like spirit guides or other people teaching it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of visions, and then I kind of followed what I had learned in those visions and just learned from what happened. Like there was never, everybody always says like they get into this other realm and then there are these guides that teach you to do stuff.
Yep.
And I never had that experience. I would get into these other realms in dreams or in what I would call, I've called it on the pod before, the in-between. Which is like, you're not quite asleep, you're not quite awake.
Yeah.
Laying there, you're almost there. And then that was like my doorway into this astral world.
Mm-hmm.
And I never experienced an entity there until I was being stalked by this dark entity that I had taken from a person that I knew through work last summer.
Huh.
And I did that on purpose. I took the attachment from them because I was very reckless with how I was dealing with attachments with other people. And it was stalking me, and I would see it sometimes, like, waking, like the whole shadow person and the side, you know?
Sure. Thanks, brother.
Refreshment time.
Sure.
Yeah. but then anytime I would go, I was doing astral then, like, as much as I possibly could. Like every night I would try to go and I would learn a little bit more. It was like being a baby and not being able to walk. Like the first time I went in there by myself, it was like, I didn't even know how to like turn my head one side or another. And then the next time I learned how to take a step, you know, it was really kind of like that.
Did you see the silver cord and like, that's what they call it, right? That attaches your spirit body to your bedroom body.
Remembering back, I think so. When I was in it, I would just be able to look back at where my body was,
mm-hmm.
and it was, like, glowing, like a white orb. Like, I could be a couple miles away, because I never really went, like, to outer space or a different planet or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The way it all started was, I, to this day, still kind of think it was God that did it. Because, and I've told Lucas about it, I've talked about it on the pod, I had this dream one night, most vivid dream ever, or one of the most vivid dreams. I say that about a lot of dreams now, but it was like I was laying in bed, and my bed faces the wall to the outside of the front house, or the front yard of our house. And it's like somebody grabbed my spirit by like the head and shoulders and just kind of like pulled me out of my body like I was in a sleeping bag. Like my body was a sleeping bag, and then placed me outside, but in this astral world.
Wow.
And I got the impression that this was God. And I was like, okay, what are we doing here? And then it was just this understanding of you're here to heal. Don't go far, but just be here until you're done.
Wow.
And then it was like, I'll put you back. There was nothing nefarious about it. It was weird because it's like it was my neighborhood. But I couldn't see anything man-made, you know?
Right.
Like, there wasn't a street. There weren't the houses at this point. The trees were there and stuff like that. There was a clearing where the road would be, but it's like it wasn't. It was really weird. Mm-hmm. So it was like the spirit energy of everything was there, but not the man-made stuff. We should have gotten, like, rubber coasters.
Tink, tink, tink. Got to do some editing.
Yeah, no, that's not that bad. But
so this is the live experience. You get the wind and
I love this
setting down of the glasses.
I'm gonna say something in the intro about being outside and stuff like that. But in that experience, the moon was out. You could see the Milky Way. Everything was just the colors were a little different, like different hues of purples and like blues. It was night, but it just wasn't the same. The moon was just like in the sky, like right there, and it was just radiating these different colors, and the stars were like flesh. It was
wow.
Like I've never been on psychedelics before, but I felt like that was the close
that's
experience.
Like what it would be like,
yeah. And it was like I was there for hours, and I like danced under the moon because I was in a, you know, my spirit body, so it was, you know, different. And I sat there where the street would be, and just sat there like. Like cross, like, you know, crisscross applesauce for a while. I laid in what would be my front yard, walked a, you know, quarter mile down the road one way and the other way, just enjoying it and kind of, and then all of a sudden I got this, okay, it's time. And then I woke up.
Wow.
So that's started incredible. It. That's what like baited me into it. And then it was so easy. I got pulled out of my body, dropped there, and everything was just so easy. It was like I was meant to be there. Every single time after that, I'm trying to do this myself. I am forcing my way out, kind of the pathway that I saw it happen before. So I would like lay in bed, and I shouldn't teach people how to do this, but try to go out the way that I did before. And then I would get out there, and then I would, like I said before, had to like start to. And then I get to the part to where there's like this dark entity stalking me, and I can feel it out there. I can't see it, but it's out there. And I get to where I'm kind of, you know, I kind of learned how to fly in that area or in that realm, which was difficult at first because it's like you get up and you get up there, and what do you do? The whole thing is just, it's such a weird learning experience there. But I got further down the road. I was about probably 3 miles from home. There's this golf course in Interlochen. What is that called?
Crystal Mountain?
No, that's Thompsonville.
The golf course?
Is it Interlochen Golf Course? Is that what it's called? I can't remember.
That's all I know it as.
Either way, it's just like if you take 31 past the corners, it's like right down there.
Probably has a real name.
But and then Gonder Road's just past that. And I was like right there.
It's like more.
Yeah, but I was down Gonder Road more, like closer to where that two-track is that goes to the boat launch. Anyway, so I'm over there, and I was just kind of looking around, just going, and I got there. And I guess I should have prefaced all this with, I've had experience with the Archangel Michael, and he's who really pushed me to connect back with the Father. And he shows up. And I knew that this thing was stalking me this whole time, but I had this dark entity was stalking me this whole time. I had this crazy overconfidence. Like, I'm a son of God. It can't touch me.
I'm invincible.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, Michael shows up, and his energy was just, it was light, bright, white, blue. Like, that's the only way I can do it. And he was just massive. Wow. Just, like, in the sky. Like, you think Mothership from Independence Day, but just white, blue light.
Wow.
And he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And me, being the idiot that I am, was like, why? I'm not even that far from home. Like, not the realm, right? You know?
Yeah.
And I should have known. And then right at this moment, the dark entity jumps out of the woods that's right nearby and just comes at me. Claws, teeth. Have you seen the first Avatar movie, the mm-hmm. blue people in space? Mm-hmm. There's the, like, black jaguar thing.
Mm-hmm. With six legs.
It's like it's got claws and teeth and all that.
It's got like 10 eyes. It looks like a jaguar black. Spider thing.
Like, it wasn't that detailed, but it was. That's the closest thing I can compare this to. And all I saw was just like out of nowhere, like with the claws, and then all of a sudden, bam! It felt like I got thrown back into my body from about the ceiling level of my room.
Wow!
And like my heart's, I like wake up in my bed. And I kind of even felt like the of like falling into my bed, and my heart's going like a mile a minute, and I'm like like breathing really, really, really loud and can't figure out what's going on. And I had like, it was almost like my head was right next to a church bell when it went off.
Say, that's how you describe it, like you got your bell rung.
Like, yeah, people pretty say much, or like hit by a truck at the same time. Yeah. You know, but it wasn't physical. My physical ears weren't, but it's like my head was just like, you know. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I never dealt with that entity again, the dark one. Never.
And also, so it's like, didn't really keep going back there.
Well, yeah, because so. I realized after that Michael just saved my ass, one. And I don't think it was a struggle for him, two. And he told me not to be there, and I was stupid and didn't understand him. I was like, so we're not going back there anymore, you know? That whole long rabbit trail was to tell you that those books from Jesse Ben Lewis and Watchman Nee kind of got me thinking about what I need to do with my spirit and the stuff that I was doing with my energy, which is your spirit. You know, I was controlling it when I shouldn't be. And so I took from the Watchman Nee book a prayer and kind of tailor-made it for myself. But I asked God, I think I asked Jesus to take the sword of the spirit and sever my control, the control between my soul and spirit, so then my spirit can be submitted to God. Mm. And there were physical applications that happened after that. Like, we have this TV at work that we have, like, just rolls pictures and flyers and stuff. I was getting, like, static shock electrocutions worse and worse and worse and worse. And then after the day after this prayer, like, to the point to where I would, like, touch the TV, because I'd get electrocuted and be like, all right, get it over with quick. I pray this prayer, and it hasn't happened since. Nothing's happened with this TV. Hasn't been unplugged. There hasn't been anything going on. Like, it's just same old stuff. It's like, I don't think we're meant to be messing with, like, do we have a chakra system? I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we capable of astral stuff and playing with our energy, spirits? We are capable.
Yeah.
I'm more in the grounds now is, our terms of the fall are to learn to be dependent on God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, instead of doing it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that until the resurrection, our resurrection after the second coming, like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to learn to be fully dependent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got hit by a Michael truck. To learn that.
Not a Michael's truck.
And you got not a Michael's truck, no.
Like not full of yarn.
Not fully yarn.
I needed to stop there today, but I was late coming here, so I didn't.
But. That's funny. So I tried astral projection once. And this was like, I'm 35 now. I was probably 22. It was like the darkest time in my life. I had chronic fatigue, mono. I was living with a very dark roommate who loved like heavy metal and suicide. He just like very dark, you know. He had a dark spirit energy about him. It was just,
yeah.
And I lived with this guy, and I tried astral projection one night because I like this stuff. And I remember getting out of my body into the corner of the room and seeing myself on my bed and freak myself out. And I was like, well, as soon as I freaked myself out, I was back in my physical body.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's real. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that again. I didn't have the balls that you did to keep being like, oh, this, you know, just plow through it, man. It was, I was too much of a wimp.
Yeah. But well, and for me, it was
maybe
like,
that's good.
God brought me here. So I must be allowed to be here.
Yeah.
I didn't put it together until way later that there was a reason it was easy that time.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those gifts Paul says you get, right? It's astral projection.
Well, I mean,
it's not people.
A lot. Yeah. It's not. Or doing it yourself. Like any time that any of the stories in the scriptures, you could consider it somebody being out in the spirit or not in their body and having visions or going to heaven and possibly being in the spirit. They don't do that themselves. Like that was very wrong of me to do that. You know, it's always initiated for God by God or one of his messengers, you know, an angel.
Yeah.
At the order of God. So,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I'm very proud of Mitchell because he went on a 10-minute rabbit trail and then remembered the point that he started on and went back to it. And that just proves how far you have come as a podcaster. Because we were just talking about the guys on Blurry Creatures doing that. But they're like 20 minutes later. And to get back to my question, we're like, what did you ask?
Yeah, they were on Ninjas or Butterflies. And he's like, this is how Josh from Ninjas or Butterflies, like, this is how I know you guys are seasoned podcasters. I don't remember the question I asked you. And you just went back to it.
That's so good, man.
I'm just impressed. I don't think we've ever done that before.
I'm trying hard. You know, I've got a lot of skin in the game now. These things aren't cheap.
Yeah, got to make some money back off this these stuff.
Microphones. That's awesome, man.
But are there any other experiences? It sounds like you went through a lot, just really similar to what I and Lucas had.
You want
to
do an intro?
I think so, yeah.
I figured I'll just do that.
I know. I just feel like I would feel better if we did an intro. I don't know why, but it doesn't feel right.
If you want to.
I'm good for whatever.
All right.
Thank you again, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed this bonus content. We'll see you on the next episode.